بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب صدق الله العظيم All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companion, upon all those who tread His path till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, in Surah At-Teen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ We have created man in the best of forms. We have created man in the best of forms. So who is this man? Basically, you could say the combination of body and soul, we would call him a human being. Who is a man? A combination of body and soul is a human being. But respected brothers and elders in Islam, as long as the soul is found in our body, we are regarded as humans. The moment this soul departs, we are no longer considered humans. So therefore we see, when a person is alive, he owns property, he has friends, he has family, he has so many things to do in life, and he finds it interesting. He enjoys life. So this is as far as his soul is there. So he takes part in happiness. People come meet him. They like to be a friend of him. And he owns assets and he's a millionaire. But no sooner he breathes his last breath, it's a time for him to depart from this world. Within a few seconds, or the second he takes his last breath, he is not going to be the owner of those assets. His family is not going to be there with him. And what are they going to do? They are going to rush. They are going to discuss. It is better we bury this person quickly as possible. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, we have our honor, we have our respect, as long as that invisible soul is with us. The moment it leaves, there is nothing like that. The beloved wife is not going to keep us in their rooms. Our parents are not going to keep us for long. Our siblings are not going to look at us for long. They are waiting to go to the burial grounds. And the greatest help they can do for us is to bury us and to put the sand over us. That's it. So therefore, respected brothers and elders in Islam, we need to understand that soul is a very important aspect which all of us have to focus about. We need to focus about this soul. Just like, before we come there, when we take for an example, we see a person who has a pleasant smile, he has a pleasant appearance, we call him, we tell him that he's a man of good character. Most of us would say that. But respected brothers, it is part of character, but whereas the true character in a person lies in his heart, in his soul. It is not the outward appearance we see. The real state of that person is known through his heart, not through his appearance. That is why Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your appearance, but whereas He looks at your hearts. You pray throughout the night, you have fasted throughout the day, it doesn't matter. But if there is no sincerity in that deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept that. The reason being that his heart was not pure, his heart was not having sincerity. I don't mind that your body is suffering from hunger, from thirst, it's all right. But your heart is not having that sincerity, I am not ready to accept the deed. So therefore, respected brothers, treating this heart is very important, it is vital. Let me give you an example. A young boy walks down the street and he sees a few young other boys who are having a nice time in the disobedience of Allah. For an example, they are involved with intoxicants, they are dancing with music. So this young boy, the moment he sees this group of youngsters, he thinks to himself, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected me from being amongst them. This is one youngster. Another youngster passes by the same crowd. What does he think? I lost the opportunity to enjoy life as they do. Both are human beings. They saw the same thing, but the anger in which they looked at that particular act was different. The first person hated the act from his heart. The second person was preferring to do that particular act from his heart. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, if you see wrong, either try to change it with your hands, or second, you try to change it by speaking to them. And number three, he said, at least by disliking it from your heart. So we see the heart plays a very important role when it comes to deciding the good and bad. The heart. So therefore, respected brothers, we see that Islam has emphasized a lot in purifying this heart, in reforming this heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala wa inna fil jasadi la mudagha, wa idha saluhat saluha al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al qalb. He said, beware, remember, there is a morsel of flesh in every human's body. If it comes right, this person becomes perfect. And that very morsel of flesh, if it gets corrupted, that whole person becomes corrupt. And thereafter he said, Ala wahiya al-qalb? No, verily that is the heart. Verily that is the heart. So respected brothers, when we take the word qalb, the Arabic word qalb, the literal translation of this is something which changes, a change taking place, constantly changing. To elaborate on that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said, Masalul qalbi, masalul risha. The narration is in Ibn Majah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the heart is like a feather. Example of a human heart is like a feather. تُقَلِّبُهَا الرِّيَاهُ بِفَلَاتٍ. And this feather is in an open land, and this tosses and turns, it changes to one side to the other due to the wind blowing. Likewise, a human heart can change within seconds. It hasn't got a constant state, it is bound to change. So we see that the Quran explains us or shows us certain du'as, and likewise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us certain du'as emphasizing on purification of this heart. The ayat of the Quran which I have read before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbana la tuzi' qulubana. O Allah, do not deviate our hearts. Rabbana la tuzi' qulubana. O Allah, do not deviate our hearts. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you have guided us. This dua is from the Quran. So we see that we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay steadfast in the right track. None of us could be happy that we are born Muslims and we will die as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant us that opportunity. But we cannot assure that. We need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts steadfast without deviation. So the meaning of that dua, O Allah, do not deviate us from the right track after you have guided us. So likewise, when we take the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are numerous ahadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read excessive duas pertaining to the heart treatments. Some of us, we know it by heart, but sometimes we will not know why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give that importance to it. Let me give a few du'as. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala dinik. Who is the reader of this du'a? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a prophet of Allah who received the Quran, who saw Jibreel alayhi salam, who met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Mi'raj. And that Nabi, he says, O turner of the hearts, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the turner of hearts, ثبت قلبي على دينك. Keep me steadfast in your religion. Keep me steadfast in your religion. This is a narration in Bukhari and Muslim. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min qalbin la yakhsha. O Allah, I seek refuge from a heart which does not fear you. I seek refuge from a heart which does not fear you. So he is directing it to the heart again. The dua which we read while we go to the masjid, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi noora. We are walking to the masjid. The dua we read, O Allah, grant light on my heart. So what does it mean? The heart can become dark due to sins. So therefore, Ya Allah, grant me light and illuminate my heart so that I will be in the right track. There are so many other du'as as well. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min qalbin la yakhsha. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi noora. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deenik. There are so many other du'as as well. So we understand that treatment of the heart is very essential, whether we are males or females, children, whether they are old, whoever it is, treatment to the heart is necessary. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, just as a body, as a human being, our physique, our figure, we have appearance, we have attributes of beauty. We would call someone handsome, we would say he has piercing eyes, his complexion is awesome, you know, his build. Just like a human being's figure has attractive beauty, the heart too has the same. There are certain elements which our hearts would contain, even our hearts would become attractive. For an example, modesty. Modesty, it beautifies a human being. Patience, it beautifies the human being. Gratitude, it beautifies a person. So these, and there are so many other elements as well, but these things make a person more beautiful than an appearance. Take the example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Bilal radiallahu anhum. He wasn't an Arab. He wasn't that good looking. He wasn't attractive. People were not amazed by his beauty, but yet his heart had the beauty which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked, and he was the first muazzin of Islam. Subhanallah. So we see, external appearance is not what is really necessary. We need to focus, we need to beautify ourselves, but that is not the maqsad, that is not the motive. But whereas, no matter how we look, but if our internal heart is clean and pure, that is what is essential. And likewise, respected brothers, this is one side of the heart, the beautiful side of it. Just as our bodies, our figure, our human being, our physique, we suffer from ailments, sicknesses, we undergo certain operations when it is needed. When we fall sick, we go for medication. It is for our physical body. Likewise, respected brothers, there are sicknesses of the heart. There are sicknesses of the heart. For an example, pride. It is something to do with the heart. Just because a person drives an expensive car, it doesn't mean that he is proud. Whereas a person riding a bicycle could be a person having pride in his heart. So when we compare the two, we would say the person driving a car is better. So our external factors are not it doesn't prove that we have pride or not, but whereas it is something to do with our heart. Let me give you an example. Sometimes people don't like to use a public toilet. They think, I am so and so, why do I need to use a public toilet? The meaning of this is, his heart is not ready to accept that he is also like an ordinary human being. He's not ready to accept that. But whereas that is the truth, the poor man sleeping in the street and this rich person sleeping in the 7-star hotel, the moment both of them demise, pass away, they are buried in the same place. Just because he was a rich man, his place, his qabr is not going to be in a specific place. No, he's going to be buried with all the rest of the other Muslims. So therefore, respected brothers, pride is a disease of the heart. Sometimes we might say, I don't have, mashallah, I don't have pride in me. I am not proud. Scholars write to say that is a sign of pride. So you are saying you are better than another person. It is pride. Subhanallah. So to this extent, it's a topic on its own to discuss about pride. But few examples so that we can diagnose whether we have pride in us or not. Sometimes our little ones at home might say, what you did is wrong. But we say, no, I am your father. You can't say that to me. How dare you correct me? So this, we are not ready to accept our mistake. And another sickness of the heart is jealousy. Maybe two people join an office and both of them drawing the same salary and they are very close friends. They have meals together for lunch. They go out for tea together. But one day the friend of one of these people come and say, you know, your friend gets 1,000 rupees more than you end of the month. I said, what? How can he get 1,000 more than me? Well, both of us are in the same level. This is an indication that he has jealousy in him. These are sicknesses of the heart, respected brothers. This cannot be treated by medication, in the sense going to a pharmacy, buy some pills, you have it, and then I don't have pride in my life. No. The treatment for this is totally different. We'll come to that inshallah. Another sickness of the heart is hatred. Hatred. For an example, we see families are broken down today. And both parties, if somebody approaches them and they say, why don't you reconcile? Say, go meet them. Say, salam, this is. No, why do I need to do that? Because he is the one who caused the problem, and why do I need to go and apologize for his mistake? So he's not ready to, he thinks, I am better than him. Why do I need to reconcile? That is his mistake. So respected brothers, sign of some problem in his heart. We could name it, we could name the list of sicknesses related to the heart and the treatments. And respected brothers, it is beyond, we don't have enough time to discuss about all this. But briefly I want to discuss, these are the types of sicknesses which affect our hearts. A poet says, a very nice couplet, he says, Ya khadim al jismi kam tashqa li khidmatin, atatlubu al-ribha fi ma fihi khusranu, aqbil ala al-nafsi fasta'mil fada'ilaha, fa anta bil ruhi la bil jismi insanu. He says, Ya khadim al jismi kam tashqa li khidmatin, O man, you taking time to adorn yourself, atatlubu al-ribha mimma fihi khusranu. Do you know that the time you are taking to adorn yourself, this physique of yours is going to come to an end? It is utter loss. It is utter loss. But whereas, أَقْبِلْ عَلَى النَّفْسِ فَاسْتَعْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا. But why don't you focus on your heart? Why don't you focus on your soul? So that you can purify it and come to a certain extent where you become a good man. And then what he hates the couplet saying, فَأَنْتَ مِنْ نَفْسِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ. You are known to be a human, not by your appearance. You are known to be a human through your heart. So we need to focus on this heart treatment, respected brothers. When we go to the doctor, maybe they can diagnose problems like, you have some problem in your heart, there are certain blocks, your arteries, your veins, and they could tell that. But no single doctor on the face of this earth, maybe he has finished PhDs after PhDs, but he is not going to say, in the scan we have found that you have pride in you. No doctor is going to say that. So the moment we don't treat the heart grows blind. Quran speaks about this, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبُصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَلْ الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Verily eyes don't grow blind. Allah says, it is the hearts which are in the chest turns blind. The hearts turn blind, not accepting the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our hearts. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, as Muslims it is compulsory we need to work on our hearts. We need to bring good things into our hearts. Number one, we need to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. We need to bring that love of Allah in our hearts. We love our family, we love our jobs, we love so many other things. But how far do we love Allah? Do our hearts, the beatings in our heart, is it related to Allah, we love Allah, or is it something else? Including the speaker, myself, all of us are suffering from this. A poet says, غَيْرُ تَقِيٍ مَنْ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتُّقَى طَبِيبٌ يُدَابِي وَالطَّبِيبُ عَلِيلُ. Just because a person is admonishing you with taqwa doesn't mean that he has taqwa. Whereas a doctor would treat his patients, and at times the doctor, he himself becomes a patient. So I talk for me, it should come into my life, and all of us need the treatment of our heart. We need to love Allah. Number two, we need to bring sincerity in all our deeds. We need to bring ikhlas, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only those deeds purely done for His sake. And number three, get rid of inner sins, pride, jealousy, malice, hatred, self-conceit, you name it. All these sins related to the heart, which is not apparent to anyone, it is known to each and every individual. Get rid of these sins. What is the... It is very difficult to treat it, but let us start. Number one, morning and evening azkar, without failing, let us start reading them. If you take the book Hisnul Muslim, it has 24 du'as related to morning and evening. Let us spend time after Fajr and read them. This would purify our hearts, inshallah. Shaykh Ibn al-Baz, rahimahullah, was a great scholar in Saudi Arabia. When we take one of his servants, he said, he was to serve him for long. He said, my Shaykh, he used to have busy schedule. He had to meet people, he had to pass fatwa. He was busy, but yet he never failed to read his morning and evening azkar after Salatul Fajr. A busy man of that nature could read. None of us could have excuses to escape those azkar. And number two, self-evaluation. Let us evaluate ourselves, and we would come to a conclusion that I have these sicknesses, I need to treat them. Let us diagnose the problem, then we go for treatment. Number three, try to have a spiritual doctor who would help you diagnose the problem. Try to have a spiritual doctor whom you look up to, who would help you to diagnose the problem and come to a solution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and keep our hearts steadfast in His noble deen. Wa akhir da'wa ya an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.